Titus chapter 3. And I say chapter 3 because that's where the new verses that we haven't looked at yet, that's where we'll be. But I do want to take just a minute, not very long, and go through just what we've looked at. The whole book, kind of look at it in one picture, if you will. Now, you remember, this is written, of course, to Titus by Paul, and he was left on the island of Crete to do a specific job, to help encourage the people in the different cities, and to set in order elders to a city that they could help mature the others. This was perhaps, don't know for sure, but perhaps this was written after the Paul's prison epistles were written and after Paul was out of prison the first time, but between the first and the second imprisonment. Well, in the beginning here, again, he just has that introduction, and he says this is the reason I've left you in Crete, that you would set in order the things wanting, so that which is lacking, you would restore and ordain, or that's the idea of to place in order, elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So, to a city, elders. So that was what he was supposed to do. And he gave that list of different things, these criteria, that these elders, if they're going to oversee these assemblies, they need to at least meet these qualifications. Everyone's supposed to be this, but they need to meet these qualifications. And in the end, he talks about how they are to be able to handle the sound doctrine, the sound teaching, so that they can exhort and convince the gainsayers, because there are many out there who are speaking error. They're subverting whole houses, he says. Their mouths need to be stopped. They're empty talkers. They're deceivers, or the understanding deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, the Jews, the Judaizers, and they subvert the whole houses. And then he went through, describing these people. They profess to know him, but in works they deny him. They're abominable. They're disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. So Titus, you need to, for every city here, you need to appoint or set in order elders so that they can help these people, so that they can speak against these others who are teaching wrong things. And it's no different today. We need to be able to do that. And there need to be elders in these assemblies, even today. I say elders, or more mature ones might be a better way to say it. Chapter 2, though, begins that new section where he's telling him to, but you need to speak the things which literally, it is fitting to sound doctrine, the sound teaching. And so what are those things that are fitting to the sound teaching? These are the things that are profitable. These are the things that they need. And he talks about the aged men, how they're supposed to be, and the aged women, and the young women, and the young men in verse 6. And what's interesting is that you have that word sophronos throughout all of this. I think this is the passage that's used the most. And it has the idea of being clear-thoughted. They need to be able to think clearly, and that's so important. Titus is supposed to, in verse 8, have sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is on the contrary part may be ashamed. So it's really important that what he says is accurate, it's sound. And then he's supposed to also exhort servants, how they're to behave. He talks about the grace of God that brings salvation, how it has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to live righteously, godly, in this present world. He says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. If you need to, you can go deal with her. She probably needs to be dealt with. Then we get in chapter 3, because it's still the same context here. He says, put them in mind to be subject under principalities. So about these governments, those in authority, tells us not to speak evil. So these are it's a really short letter, and he's just kind of throwing all in there. These are the things in which we are to behave on this earth. It's not complicated, it's not hard, but it's essential. And the sad thing is there are so many people out there talking about God in so many different ways, and yet they miss these really simple things. He says, Which, okay, so he says that, verse 9, he tells them, you need to avoid foolish questions, genealogies. These people who subverted this heretic, the one that's just bringing up stuff and kind of going all around, you keep showing him the way, but he keeps looking for something else. He says, you need to literally ask beside, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So there's kind of that in a nutshell. That brings us here to verse 12. Now, this is not speaking about speak the things which are sound doctrine, but now it's the end of the letter and just some instructions for Titus. So we'll look at these things and look at some of the history, some of the secular things here. He says, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicon, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. So, he says, the first thing he says is, come to me, come to me. Whenever I will send, he uses this man, he says, Artemon toward you. Artemon. Who is Artemon? This is the only mention of him, so we don't know much about him. All we know is he is someone who could have been entrusted to oversee things if Titus were to leave Crete. That's pretty good. By the way, that's important. That's important that there are other people who could oversee things. It's not relying on one person. You don't need a pastor to get together and worship. Did you know that? You don't. There's nowhere in Scripture that says you got to have a bishop or a pope or a pastor or anybody like that to get together and worship and encourage each other, or even have men to address the assembly. It's important that there are others who can do that, who can stand in the gap. We need to become mature so that we can do that if there should be a gap. I know of some places, even right now, where they have to do that very thing. They don't have a pastor. They don't have a pastor right now. It's not that pastors aren't good, and sure, they are, but all that to say is it's good to have someone else that can stand in the gap too. Even if they're not particularly maybe gifted as a pastor per se, they can still help. Well, he says Artemon or Tychicon, and he's mentioned in a few places. This man is. In Acts 20, verse 4, he says, and there accompanied him into Asia, all of these people. Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus. And of Asia, you have this man, Tychicon, and Trophimus. So he's from Asia. Now, not Asia as we think China and Russia and all those places, but Asia in Turkey, that region in Turkey is a larger region. He was from there. And Ephesians 6:21 says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicon or Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So you can see he was with him in the book of Ephesians. Colossians says something similar. All my estate shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, fellow servant of the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. 2 Timothy 4:12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. And then we have the mention here in Titus 3. So he was from Asia in that Turkey region. He's first mentioned in Paul's third missionary journey. We don't know when he began with Paul, but he was with Paul in his third missionary journey. He's mentioned during the prison epistles, so when Paul is in prison. And I would conclude that he remained with Paul, or at least he came to Paul after his imprisonment, his house arrest in Rome. And it was from there that he, Tychicus, and Onesimus delivered these letters, Philemon, Colossians, Philippians, and Ephesians. While Paul was in prison, he wrote these letters. This man, along with Onesimus, delivered these letters. He's also mentioned in 2 Timothy that Paul sent him to Ephesus. Now, 2 Timothy would be the last book that Paul would have written in his second imprisonment. And so he's mentioned him there. And so you just get a little bit of picture of the man. He's a man. He's useful in the Lord's service. He can be entrusted to do things. I think, wow, you know, may I be like him? May we be like this man, Tychicus? He seemed to be flexible, or at least doing different things. Really, he was singular focus, serving the Lord, but and helping other people know him. But he was doing different things at different times, different places. And so I think a good example, Tychicus is. So he says, come to me, come to me. Whenever I will send these men, he says, make haste to come toward me into Nicopolis. Nicopolis, now that's a compound word. You have Nike. Nike means victory. And then polis is city. So it's the victory city, the city of victory. And let me read you a little bit about this place. Okay, this is from just from the internet here. just general information. In 29 BC, 2 years after his victory in the naval battle of Actium, Octavian founded a new city, which he called Nicopolis, the city of victory, located on the southernmost promontory of Epirus, and across the mouth of the harbor from the ancient town of Actium. This foundation echoed a tradition dating back to Alexander the Great, and more recently illustrated by Pompey, founder of Nicopolis in Little Armenia. Symbolically, the new city represented one example of his successful unification of the Roman Empire under one administration. Geographically, it constituted a major transportation and communications link between the eastern and western halves of the Mediterranean. Economically, it served to reorganize and revitalize the region, which had never recovered from its destruction by Lysias. And so it also established an important commercial center and port at its strategic position on the Mediterranean Sea routes. Also here, he says, on a hill north of Nicopolis, where his own tent had been pitched, and north of the present village of these places here, Octavian also built a monument and sanctuary to Apollo, considered his patron god, and trophies to two other gods, Neptune and Mars, for their contribution to its victory. This monument was adorned with the rams of captured galleys. In further celebrations of his victory, he instituted the quadrennial Acton Games in honor of Apollo Actus, or Actius. Okay, so a lot of that you think, okay, where's the meat in all of those bones? So here, the idea is this was founded in 29 BC. And so where are we at now? Well, Paul probably died around 60 or so AD. So you're talking less than 100 years old. It's not that old of a city. Okay, and the city was probably less than 100 years old. It seems to have been a significant city. It was located midway up Greece. So if you look at modern Greece today, it's about midway up Greece. And it's on the west side, all the way on the west coast, which is interesting. And so Paul's plan was to winter in this town. And he desired Titus to be with him. He says, for there I have judged to winter. So this was perhaps after Paul's first imprisonment, after Philemon, Colossians, Philippians, and Ephesians was written, and he's released from house arrest. He talked about in Rome wanting to go to Spain. So it kind of it's a place where maybe he could launch off to go into Spain, or where he could come back from Spain. But he talked about that in the book of Romans. So he probably did that as well between his third and his last imprisonment, went off to Spain. But anyhow, it's interesting that he went over there, Nicopolis. And so he wants Titus. Titus, come to me. When I send someone to you, it's your cue to come to me. I'm wintering here. So he wanted him to be with him for the winter there. And then he gives another command. He says, send them before. Who is he going to send before? Well, he says in verse 13, bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey. So Zenon, the one pertaining to law. This is the only place he's mentioned. It seems this was probably a lawyer. Did this have to do with Jewish law at all? Maybe not. It just literally, it's the one pertaining to law. So we say a lawyer. And he's with Apollo. And these seem to have their own ministry, Apollo, and I guess Zenos is with him. So they're kind of doing their own thing. Paul has his own thing over here, kind of doing separate things. But yet, while they're separate, they're the same in purpose. And I sense, it's interesting sometimes, but I sense a little bit of awkwardness with Paul and Apollos a little bit. Maybe even a little awkwardness with him and Peter sometimes. But anyhow, these were perhaps more apologetic. Apollos was more apologetic in their approach, using more mighty words. Whereas Paul, on the other side, though he would come in power, he came not with excellency of speech in that sense. But Apollos was a great orator. We'll talk about him here. He's mentioned quite a few times in Scripture. In Acts, he's mentioned in Acts 18:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. And chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples." It's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians because people were saying, "Oh, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ." And because Apollos had come through Corinth. So there are other places where he's mentioned, and I won't read all of those. So what about him? He was born in Alexandria, Egypt. Alexandria, Egypt was founded, it was an old city, not super, super old, but it was an old city. Even at that time, it was founded by Alexander the Great, some about 400 years or so before. And from Britannica, it says, "Such scholars as Archimedes would be another one, and others, they learned there in Alexander." So it was a great place of learning way back when. There was a famous library there in the 3rd century. Of course, again, this is long ago. The ancient library housed numerous texts, the majority of them in Greek. A daughter library was established in the temple of Serapis about 235. So just a little bit about Alexandria. But it would be a place probably of, well, it's of great importance being right on the Mediterranean. And also it would be a place probably of great learning. And that's probably where Apollos got a lot of his learning, which is interesting. It says he was eloquent. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He came to Ephesus. And Ephesus was a major city. And he taught fervently the things of the Lord, only knowing up to the baptism of John, though. That's all he knew up to at the time. And then you remember Priscilla and Aquila came, and they taught him more perfectly the ways of God. And he went and preached mightily those things. Interesting. While Apollos was in Corinth, so he's traveling around, and Paul's traveling around, and it seems that Paul is kind of behind him right now. Apollos was in Corinth. Paul went to Ephesus, and he found disciples who had not received the Holy Ghost. So they were disciples, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. And in fact, they said, "We hadn't even heard that there was such a thing as a Holy Ghost," because they had only heard about the baptism of John. Kind of says, oh, they probably heard what Apollos was saying. Okay, and they were convinced of that, but they hadn't got the whole thing yet. Paul explained to them more to them, and the Holy Ghost fell immediately upon them, which is interesting. But you think about Apollos. Okay, he had a ministry similar to Paul's, it seems. But the instructions here is this. He says, first, when I send Artemis or Tychus, be diligent to come unto me, to Nicopolis. The second one is, bring Zenos, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently or hastily. You help them along. You know, help them to on their journey. He says that nothing be wanting unto them, nothing, that not even one thing to them might lack. Okay, so help them, give them all that they need, that they wouldn't lack anything. Which is interesting. You know, they're not in competition. He tries to explain that in 1 Corinthians. It's kind of a different situation because Paul is kind of, he has the ministry that he's doing, and he has people that's helping him, and he's helping them. And then you have Apollos, and it's kind of a separate thing. You know, he talked with Apollos, like he asked him to come to Corinth, but he's telling the Corinthians, but it wasn't his mind at all to come at this time. So, you know, they had their different ways about him, it seems like. But Paul makes it clear, as he's preaching the gospel, you know, Apollos, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. And so that's interesting. But even here, if they're, you know, when they come to Crete, Titus, you need to help them, bring them on their way, get them what they need. Don't, you know, make sure they have everything that they need and speedily. And he says this in verse 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. So even the ours, our ones, ours must learn good works to stand before themselves. He uses that same terminology again, good works to stand or place before themselves. So they need to do that. They need to do that. They must learn to do that. He says, for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. So literally, into necessity, or that which is indispensable, into the indispensable need. Those who need things, you know, you need to do that. You need to help them. That not they might exist unfruitful. And so we too ought to help others, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, in their service to the Lord. That doesn't mean we can, you know, support everything that everybody does. Maybe we can't help some people because they're doing something wrong, and we need to talk to them if there's something like that. But on the other hand as well, those serving the Lord, we're not in competition, and we need to help them. Then you have here verse 15. You have all these greetings here. He says, all that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with all. Be with you all. Amen or amen. All the ones with me greet you. Greet the ones, and this is interesting, greet the ones, he says, loving us in faith or in the firmness. That's interesting. That word love is not agape, it's the phileo kind of love. Greet the ones that liking us in the faith, that have that familiar kind of love, which is interesting. Interesting that he would say that. And then he has that valediction right here at the end where he says, grace be with you all. Amen. Grace, again, what is grace? Grace is the freely given things of God. And the idea is, may the freely given things of God, may it exist with all of you. And then he says, amen. The word amen comes straight out of the Hebrew. And amen, it just means firm. And it's translated often truth. When it's causative, it's translated believe. And it's where we get the word pistis from in Greek. It's the idea to believe or faith. And that's where we get that idea of firmness. Amen is firmness. Interesting. And so is faith. Faith is rooted in that same idea. Very good. So there's the book of Titus. Short book, but and basic, but he says this is profitable. This is the profitable. He says in verse 8, these things are good and profitable unto men. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are profitable unto men. And he wants to, you know, he says, you will be a faithful minister of God if you help these people to remember these things. So I need to help you remember these things, help me remember these things, sure. But you can help others remember these things, because we want to help other people represent the Lord accurately, Christians. And if they're not saved, show them the Lord through these things. Any questions or thoughts about anything that we've looked at here? Okay. All right. I hope you'll take some time, maybe go back through, just meditate on it some more, the book of Titus. Lord, thank you for the day, the time that we can spend together and worship you in song and to do some special things. But for your glory is our desire, is that all things would please you well. And the afternoon, if we go home with family or whatever we have, that you would get much glory through all of those things. And we thank you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.